It's bonus pod 214, I believe.
You enter the Ulster Hall in Belfast, a beautiful venue, and you're there to prepare your show, your one man or woman show, Podbud Live. It's a tale of the life of a podbud is the subtitle of the show. It's sold out because everyone wants to know what it's like to be a podbud. And you're going to tell them in the media of song and dance. And you turn up at the venue early because you got to run through all the technical cues with the staff. And you open the big door to the beautiful Ulster Hall and the door closes behind you and the sound echoes through the room. We've got a lot of reverb, this room. And you go, hello? Hello? It's me, Podbud. I'm here to take and prepare the show. And you stop short because on the big stage, big beautiful stage, is an enormous statue of a seahorse. The emblem of Belfast, the seahorse. And you go, wow, a bit out loud to yourself like that. You're a bit embarrassed you said wow out loud, but you are astonished. And you walk up in reverence to the stage and walk up the steps and you walk up to this enormous seahorse sculpture and you pat its sculpted scales and you run your hand along its tail and follow the curve of its spiral until you get to that pointy tip and you give it a little boink. Ah, it feels good. And then you hear a voice go, oi, stop it. And you go, what? I said, that's not for you to touch. No means no. And I'm saying no now. And you go, what? And you look up and the voice is coming from the head of the seahorse statue and the jaw opens up. Kunk, 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 kunk. And the seahorse's mouth is open. And you're like, sorry, is there someone? And before you finish your sentence, water gushes out of the seahorse's mouth and smacks you, knocks you down to the ground, oof, knocks you over the stage, smash, smash, water is just filling up the Ulster Hall. You start to rise up and with the water's getting so high. And it's up to the windows now. And the whole Ulster Hall is filling up. The water's starting to hit the ceiling. You're worried you're going to drown. And just in time, the pressure breaks the lovely stained glass windows of the Ulster Hall. And vloosh, all the water flows out. And you descend slowly back safely onto the ground. And then, as you're lying there, Phil and Pierre stand over you, look down at you. And Phil goes, the pointy bit of the tail is quite nice, isn't it? Well, welcome to Bonus Pod.
I think my favorite thing about that was definitely when the motion sensitive light went out in this room we're in.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't even blink.
I didn't blink. I couldn't blink because my eyes were shut.
You kept going.
Yeah, I was just imagining, picturing the scene.
You were so in there.
Yeah.
By which we mean in here, the actual building we're in. Did that help?
Absolutely, it helps being in the place. We're in the marvelous Ulster Hall now because we're about to do a show. Pierre's about to open up the show, then I'm about to do the second half of the show here in Belfast, my first ever tour show in Belfast. Now, it might sound like we're in a massive hall as it is, but we're actually in a much smaller dressing room, but we don't have the normal microphones.
No, and it's as close as we can get to giving you a taste of what it would be like for us to actually be in the hall when recording it, because man, it is reverby.
It's a reverby room. They build a reverby room here in Northern Ireland.
If I wanted to film a scene of a film where a crazy politician had to give a kind of really echoey, frightening speech, I would want to film it in this hall.
Yeah,
and get the weird echoing audio.
Yeah, because it's got a really high ceiling and. Like high enough that you could drop a really sort of terrifying banner behind you, like with like a lot of red and black.
Mm-hmm.
Some Man in the High Castle shit.
Yeah. Definitely. Some kind of sci-fi Castle Wolfenstein fucking vibe.
Or like the bad guys from Red Alert or something, you know?
Yeah, the sort of slightly ambiguous bad guys from Red Alert. We sort of go, I know there's something to do with Russia here, I think, but can't quite figure out.
One of those Command & Conquer games had really scary bad guys. And, oh, no, am I thinking of... Warhammer, the Warhammer bad guy race of like space empire people, and it's like a lot of black and red. Or maybe I'm thinking of Wolfenstein.
Eh? You mean Chaos?
Chaos? Hmm, I don't know.
What? But like in a video game?
Like, yeah, I'm just picturing a computer game character or like army you could choose, which had like a really scary like red and black aesthetic.
Futuristic?
Yeah, futuristic. But I can't remember.
Tiberian Sun?
Yes! Well done!
That's what it was.
Tiberian Sun.
Yeah, they had a...
That was Command & Conquer, right?
It was called like... Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was Command & Conquer Future Time.
Oh shit, Tiberian... I remember Tiberian Sun. Trying to get Tiberian Sun to work on my computer in Malaysia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was obsessed with I was more obsessed with getting games to work than actually playing the games in Malaysia because they were so tricky.
Because in those days, getting anything to work was so impossible.
Well, also because they're all pirated. We don't even get pirated games. So then you have to figure out where the patch codes were. You had to then go into like the files on the disc and extract the patch codes. And
yes, yeah, yeah. And kind of rebuild the legit looking file yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Ah, we're old.
Tiberian Sun.
Tiberian Sun, baby.
Yeah.
Look up what the evil dudes were called. I'm trying to think if we have had any spice take. Spicy take. Piece of trivia while I try and think of spicy takes. Phil drinks an Americano with half the usual water. That's his request.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically what I want is a long black, which is usually...
Oh, yeah.
It's basically an Americano with less water. Although technically it also means that espresso is poured onto the hot water, whereas with an Americano you pour hot water onto the espresso, which apparently makes a difference, but I can't tell. I think it's a bit nicer. I've started making the coffee like that at home now. Hot water first, and then you put the little espresso in, and you preserve the crema of the espresso. And I think it's a bit nicer, but it might just be nicer because there's less water in it.
Yeah.
Was that interesting?
I mean, it paints a picture of who you are.
Why?
Because you're the kind of person who could be bothered to make a fuss over their coffee.
Yeah, you drink a lot of black coffee, though. Do you not?
Yeah, fuss? But I do it for like I do it like a drug addict, though.
Right.
I do it because I go, I need that so I can keep going.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, I would like to sample a little num num or like a little Turkish delight slice. It's not a treat; it's a medical need.
Well, I finally now figured out my coffee metabolism. Because I used to not understand what people were talking about, having these afternoon coffees that would give more energy. They would make me sleepier.
Yeah.
But now I've realized having it with milk makes me sleepy. I didn't have no milk, because warm milk, even with coffee in it, it just kind of makes you sleepy. So no milk, just black coffee at between 4 and 5 p.m.
You have the food like body reactions of like a baby.
Why? Why?
Why? Because like hot like warm milk makes you sleepy.
Of course it does.
And like some like a small amount of booze makes you like
little bubbles come out of my mouth when I wake up.
Yeah. Your brain's all
bubbles come out.
Exactly. Your brain's all cloudy and.
Yeah.
You know how like they give in the olden days you'd rub like brandy on a baby's gums or something if they were teething.
Yeah.
Yeah, to soothe them.
Yeah.
That's you.
That's me.
Yeah, and with warm milk as well.
Yeah, if I have too much to drink, I have the hallucination from the end of Dumbo.
Yeah. Yeah. If Phil has a full bottle of red.
The Elephant's Parade. That scared the shit out of me, that sequence, when I was a kid.
Disney movies used to be more frightening, I think. Although, to be fair, the current ones have some spooky kind of green electric effects. Have you seen that? How every modern Disney villain is just green electricity?
No.
Yeah.
Is this the thing?
The art design, yeah.
Oh.
It's always green lighting with kind of green crackling.
Yeah, it's very dull.
Mm.
Yeah, whereas compared to the other day, I just... To send to a friend as a joke, I looked up the picture of the witch from Snow White.
Yeah.
It scared the shit out of me when she came up. Still. Yeah. Horrible. That's how you do it. You don't just throw a bunch of light and CG and like millions of dollars and computer graphics. It doesn't work. Just draw a lady past her prime.
That will horrify everyone.
Horrify everybody. That would make him sick.
The women. Everyone.
And she's offering you a fresh apple, and the freshness of the apple contrasts with the wrinkles of her skin. It's the
withered
thing, it
face.
Works. It works. It gets at you, deep down at you.
Yeah, she's got a big wart, doesn't she?
Big old wart. A beauty wart back in the day, probably.
It's tough to be the one of the warted, isn't it?
Yeah. But this is a famous... It's a famous thing, right? Of the witch from Snow White being very scary, being terrifying when you're a kid and in adulthood.
I've certainly heard about it before. I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
I think I remember being more scared of the Pinocchio scene where they're like brutally transforming into donkey boys.
Oh yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's really dark.
It's I wonder if it's based on the bit in the Odyssey where they turn into pigs.
Surely.
Hmm.
And it's on an island.
And it's on an island. It must be.
It's got to be.
Oh, it'll be one of those things like where every culture has a fable where a bunch of men or boys are turned into animals horribly.
I really wish the Mediterranean was... Well, when I was a kid growing up, I was always like, well, all these stories are about the Mediterranean being full of fantastical islands, but it's not really. It's just got Sicily and Cyprus. But then as you realize, they meant the Greek islands with the largest loads of them.
Loads of Ickle islands. Have you played Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
No, it was another one of those games where I knew I would enjoy it, but I looked at the scale of it and I thought...
It's too much.
Yeah, I just...
I played it for ages and it's amazing. The size of the map is almost hard to, like, compute in your head. Like, you can't... It's all of Greece. All the islands, and it's amazing, like, sailing from one to the other. But eventually you just go, it's enough. I've been playing this for 30 hours.
Do you know what? Here's my spicy take. And I'm saying this as a person who likes video games, and I played a bit of The Witcher 3.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to the point where I was just like, wait, being a witcher is like my actual job now.
Yeah.
This is my job. My job is to play this game.
Yeah.
And to make potions and fucking solve these crimes. And
I mean, like, Daryl Breen has had a bit back in the day about going home to relax, playing some Grand Theft Auto, then just finding himself in a traffic jam in Grand Theft Auto. Like, well, I'm just commuting again.
So here's my spicy take.
Oh, yeah.
I think these video games, these really big ones, but often they're big in a way that involves drudgery. So
drudgery,
there's lots of bigness in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but it's just sailing, right?
Yeah,
Just monotony. Or the bigness of the amount of missions in The Witcher, but the missions are just like errands,
mm-hmm.
or finding herbs to grind up, or one of the Assassin's Creed ones had like a kind of bunch of side missions where you were essentially just renovating various towns. There was the Renaissance one, I think.
Oh yeah,
I
like the renovation ones. It's the ones that are lame are just the ones that are very generic. Just go here, kill that.
Yeah,
come back.
Lame side quests. My hot take is that these games are filling an urge for people to be productive to achieve things. And that's obviously why games are nice.
And that's what gamification is, right?
Yeah.
Making clear the sense of progress. That's why all these apps, that's why even fucking like Deliveroo now gives you sort of we progress up to get a coupon. Even when we're relaxing, we want to feel like we're making some progress.
Yeah, and I think... Not everyone, because some people are just like, look, my life is very stressful and I like to pretend to be Link from Zelda, right?
Mm.
You go, yeah, fine. But if you're one of these people who's like addicted to these progress-making games, imagine, do you think the world would be more productive if we just turned video games off for about 6 months?
Oh, it would certainly be more productive if we turned off some games.
Yeah, World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
or just those ones.
Dare I say Call of Duty? Dare I say the first-person shooters?
Yeah, you think?
I think so.
Because they're less grindy, though. They're more just adrenaline bursts.
Right,
sort of chaos adrenaline bursts. Whereas the ones where it's like...
Well, oh, no, you're right.
You're playing a game where you have a job, right?
Oh, no. Well, this is coming after the games I like, then. And I'm less for this.
Yeah.
I feel like FIFA should be illegal. It's such a waste of time. And I'm someone who has played his fair share of FIFA in the past.
Yeah.
But years ago. And, I mean, it really goes nowhere. You don't learn... there's no story. I guess you get better at playing FIFA.
Yeah. Maybe people who like football can explain to us the appeal. I guess it's the appeal where it's like, now I'm Mbappe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Not really, because you play the whole team and you're like the manager. Yeah. More than anything.
Yeah. I mean, if there was a way you could make managing your own personal business accounts or house accounts more like Football Manager, which yeah. ruins people's lives.
Yeah.
What a society we'd be in.
I know. Yeah, but that's what gamification is tapped into. We need to gamify things that people don't want to do but should, not just things that companies can profit out of. So what behaviors would that be?
It's also cooler in a game to just shoot a bow and arrow and do backflips. Like, it would be cooler to go to the bank and do some in-person setting up of better accounts or something.
You know what would be good?
If you had to backflip over the guy and shoot him with an arrow.
Imagine if there's an app or something, or like some Google Glasses thing, where every time you did a good deed, you got a plunk.
Oh.
And you got a little progress bar goes zoot.
How would it tell? You'd have to tell it, maybe.
Yeah, I think this would have to... This would have to be an AI thing.
Yeah.
Your AI... You've got an AI hooked up to your phone's microphone that's spying on you anyway, and it can hear yeah. and understand when you've done something good.
Yeah, or you could... That would be a good sci-fi story plotline where everyone's got brain chips, right?
Yeah.
And the thing goes blunk when it detects the brain pattern of I've been altruistic.
Oh, that sort of altruism dopamine kind of thing.
Yeah. And then it goes like, oh, the brain's doing that. He must have done something nice.
Yeah.
But it's in the brain of a nutter.
Psychopath. So a psychopath can't get their... We've got another great movie idea.
It's hit after heavy hit on the bonus pod. That's the only reason we put these good ideas in the bonus pod exclusively, so we can track who steals them.
Patent pending.
Yeah, horrible big psycho. There's a great futuristic movie where Paul Rudd plays a horrible psycho with a mustache.
I can't imagine it.
In a futuristic, it's great.
Oh.
In a kind of futuristic Berlin.
What? How have I never heard of this movie?
I know, no one seems to have heard it. It's like I dreamt it.
Wow.
I really liked it.
There are lots of those movies that you're like, does that movie actually exist? Because no one's ever mentioned it.
Yeah, there's too much content.
Have you ever seen a movie called Just Friends with Ryan Reynolds and Anna Faris?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's great.
What?
It's great. It's a very funny, kind of low-budget rom-com. Anna Faris is brilliant. Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
And it's got Amy Smart in it, who was going to be a thing and then didn't.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's a good movie and no one seems to know about it.
Someone did a thread on Twitter of like how crazy loads of missing stuff is that because it's just on Apple streaming.
Oh.
And there's like a movie or a series with like Samuel L. Jackson in it.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Didn't think he was even still working. But it's on Apple.
Yeah.
So we're all these like massive things that previously would have been like...
Well, I mean, I recently finished Severance, which is great.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
But on top of Adam Scott being in it, they've also got Christopher Walken and John Turturro.
Jesus, man.
And it's just like, oh yeah, Apple can afford to pay these like legends. And people, I mean, Severance is a popular show, and even that show people are like, well, no, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, no one's heard of it. We're just like fucking cutting edge little weirdos like us, basically.
Yeah. My spicy take, gosh, so we're traveling around the island of Ireland. My spicy take is that it feels fucking great to drive from the EU into the UK without a fucking border.
Yeah.
That was amazing because we flew into Ireland.
Yeah.
And then to get into Northern Ireland, aka the UK, we had to drive in here, but we had to show our passports to get into Ireland, but nothing to get back into Britain.
Yeah.
Not Britain, back into the UK. And I don't know. I just think this might be a good idea for all of Europe, is all I'm saying. That's my spicy take. My spicy take is maybe we should form some sort of unified relation, like a union of...
Like a university?
No, union. I think it's union.
An onion?
No. That's
okay.
The root vegetable.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a union, but of countries instead of people who all work in the same thing.
Oh.
Union.
It'll never work. Burp, burp,
burp. Nah. Next on Radio 4.
There'll be more from the Irony Boys next week on Radio 4. But now, Adrian Childs investigates all of the tallest hamsters.
Brum, ba, bum, ba, bum, ba, oh, God, hamsters, the hamsters, hamsters, hamsters.
fucking hate the arches.
When that theme comes on, it's like whatever the opposite of a dopamine hit is, that's what I get. I go, ugh.
When that theme comes on, it's like I've accidentally set off my own car alarm. That's how much I flail to try and make it stop. Awful. Should we do some correspondence here in the echoing room of fun?
Yeah. In the correspondence dungeon.
And in the dungeon is Lucy.
Lucy! Let's get juicy.
Lucy sent it to the main email. And the subject line is a naked okay thank you.
Okay. Mm. Nice.
Lucy says, my dearest boys. Founding Farter here, who was lucky enough to be at the first Bud Pod Live.
Oh, great.
Mm. And I have to let you know how struck I was by how wonderfully radiant you both are.
Wow. Well, we were the only lit people during the show,
I guess. She means lit, I think, doesn't she? In that light was radiating off us.
Although we looked so pregnant, is the other word, read.
Yes, yeah, swollen and thirsty and flushing. Yes. Maybe it was the exciting company of all the podbuds, but you were just glowing. Truly a feast for the eyes and ears. Thank you. I'd hope to give you this praise after seeing you both in Lincoln recently, but I couldn't track you down after Phil's gig, so this will have to suffice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I'd like to add myself to the list of podbuds with interesting jobs. I'm a life model.
Ah! Mm. What, a full-time life model?
Seems like it. I'm a life model for different art groups, sculptors, universities, etc.
Oh, great.
In this job, you quickly get used to people saying weird things to you about your body, such as, your back is really long. Or, I've drawn you with a club foot. And I have learned to keep a neutral, pleasant expression on my face when receiving these comments. However, one of these moments happened recently, which eclipsed all others. I was modelling for an artist's collective.
Okay.
Ooh, they've seen Severance. I was modelling for an artist's collective, and mid-pose, an artist blurted out, I'm so sorry, but I've made you look like Prince Andrew. Before I could even think of keeping a straight face, he held the offending artwork directly in my eye line, and I had nowhere else to look but at the nightmarish vision of my body with the sweatless nonsense face. The shock of looking at such a horrifying image completely stopped my brain from working cohesively, and all I could do was try to keep perfectly still as I stifled my laughter and choked out an, okay, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Usually the job is much less offensive than this, and I occasionally get given some of the artworks, which I have hanging up in my home. After seeing Phil's show, in particular the bit about people having pictures of themselves in their houses, I wondered what his opinion would be of my many nude paintings adorning my walls.
I'm much more in favour of that. I think that shows boldness.
It's quite a power move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's what my ass looks like, by the way.
And you never mention it to guests. You let them bring it up.
Yeah. And they go, sorry, is that you? Turn around and go, no, why?
Do you think it looks like me?
Do you like it?
Is that how you think I look naked?
Do you like it? Do you like it? Do you like it?
Do you think about me naked a lot?
Huh? She's go, why do you like it? And you go, well, yeah, it's great. I go, yeah, then it's me. Yeah, that's a power move.
Yeah, for sure.
Or it's also just like all the information, just in case you wanted to know.
It's very much a collection of paintings that say, I live here.
Yeah.
This house is my house. You are a guest.
You are a guest. None of you are naked on the walls.
Now that would be a power move if you turn up at someone's house and the naked pagan painting of you on the wall.
Like an intervention. coming to see you in Lincoln, Pierre. Looking forward to. Thank you very much. Lovely, love you both. Warmly jacking it, Lucy.
Oh, you got to do it warmly.
You got to, yeah. If you're posing, and it must get cold.
Yeah, jacking it and I guess you're not allowed to jack it as a life model. But it must get cold.
Well, then all
it must
the drawings
be very are, well. Must be very well heated rooms.
The drawings would be blurry, right?
Yeah.
And a few people have sent this, maybe on the main one as well. But remember, I made reference. Hillary sent it.
Hillary, let's get Sillery.
Remember, I talked about how there was some. Either I spoke generally with this example in mind, but there was like a kids YouTuber person, and they'd had like a bunch of old videos come up that they had to apologize for, where they were like,
Yeah.
Shitting and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, that's they just sent us the link to that story.
Basically. Oh, okay.
Bippy or Blippy.
Okay.
Who's like massive.
Right.
He had some old like Jackass style prank video where he did chat all over his friend.
Oh, too much.
That was like a call to prayer or something.
I couldn't decide if I liked it or didn't like it. And I landed on actually I don't like it.
That was a lot of different notes there.
That was my impression of Flight of the Bumblebee.
That to me sounds like a lot of noughties R&B.
Oh, like, oh, yeah.
Oh, baby, when you're no, I hate, that's my spicy take. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate it when singers do that.
I don't like that either.
What is it supposed to do?
It's supposed to show your vocal, suppleness.
It
makes your nimbleness.
Makes my bum fall off.
You're vocally nimble.
Okay, let's see. Then we got some tat from Will.
Will, spill the beans on this tat.
So Will says, gentlemen. I like that.
Ah, gentlemen.
Also, I like it saying it like an American sometimes. You cut out the T. Gentlemen.
Gentlemen. Gentlemen. Swing.
It's always like, that always happens in a movie about like the CIA.
Yeah.
Gentlemen. Gentlemen. On an Easter trip to the Lake District, my girlfriend and I sought shelter from the rain in a cloyingly twee local shop.
This is very efficient writing. That's for one sentence, first sentence. You know where you are, you know what it looks like.
That's true.
It's really good.
Will, you're like a Russian author or like Hemingway.
Yeah, I was just about to say Hemingway.
On an Easter trip to the Lake District, my girlfriend and I sought shelter from the rain in a cloyingly twee local shop.
Ooh, straight in.
Ooh.
Orwellian.
Once we had fought past the overpowering scent of lavender, we were, makes me feel sick. We were greeted with stone shelf after stone shelf of tat. For the low price of 25 pund and our self-respect, we could have acquired a page of an Oscar Wilde play with some straight nonsense written on it.
this is some straight nonsense.
What is this straight nonsense? I attach a link for Whispering and Joy. So here's the picture, Phil.
Oh,
so it's a page of an Oscar Wilde play with a bunch of lettering inked over it. Vandalism.
Gosh, no, I hate this. Oh, actually, this is a version of the tat I really hate. It's sort of like tea-stained oldie map or bit of script or old letter or something.
Yeah.
And then some sort of rebellious daub over it. But it's not rebellious because what it's daubed over is not real or valuable in the first place.
No, it's just twee. Okay, so some of these are abstract nouns.
Okay.
Some of these are not.
Okay.
There isn't really a pattern other than tweeness.
Okay, okay.
With blank, 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 and the blank.
Fucking hell.
So okay. With blank, 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 and the blank.
Yep.
Who could not be happy? Who could not be happy?
Gosh, with blank, 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 and the blank. With dear good friends and the wife.
I would have more respect for that because that's like something that Matt Berry would say. With dear good friends and the wife.
UK wife. The UK wife.
UK wife. There's no real link. It's just tweeners.
The dog?
No.
With blank, blank, blank and the blank. With...
This is hard.
With...
I'll give you a clue. So the first three blanks.
Yeah.
So it goes abstract noun.
Okay.
Plural tangible object.
Okay.
Plural tangible object.
Okay.
Both associated with sort of loveliness.
Yeah.
And tweeness.
Yeah.
And when it goes and the blank.
Yeah.
It's a pretty unexpected...
Okay. With love...
No.
Laughter?
No.
Kindness?
A bit more intellectual.
Oh, with...
Yeah.
Goodwill!
yeah, okay.
With... Optimism? Hope?
No, more... A bit more political, I guess.
Oh, with...
Phil's rubbing his eyes, man.
Rebellion with... Oh, solidarity? Community?
Words like that. Even broader than that.
Oh my god, democracy with...
Yeah, different ways of saying that.
Freedom?
Yes!
Oh, with freedom.
Yeah, and then immediately that tone never comes up. It's really strange.
With freedom, cars, and bikes. And the train. Who could be happier?
Again, I'd respect that.
I think I have to bow out of this. This is too hard.
I don't know.
We're running out of time.
It's with freedom, books, flowers.
What?
And the moon.
We could have sat here until the UK rejoined the EU, and I would never have
done. Look at that. With freedom, books, flowers, and the moon.
The moon is absolutely insane thing to stick
in. Who could not be happy?
I mean, is that a quote? That's not a quote from, like, one bit of Oscar Wilde's.
If Oscar Wilde ever said that,
but maybe in context,
it would have been on his, like, feverish deathbed in that prison or whatever. In that gutter.
That is impossible.
To paint that over...
That's madness.
To paint that over a play by one of the most cynical literary figures in history.
Yeah.
Like, such a cynic. A little...
Bitch, really.
He's a little bitch, yeah. Saucy bitch. Freedom, books, flowers, and the moon.
Incredible. Wow, that's mad.
Climb back into whatever bin you've come out of. I mean, that's just too much.
That is insane.
Okay.
We gotta get out of here. Thanks for listening. Sorry about the roominess.
But, you know, we're making it work.
Yeah.
Delivering for our VIPs.
And thanks to any Podbuds who came to the Dublin show, which was excellent, and who came to the Belfast show, which is about to happen in our timeline.
Yeah, when you're listening to this, we'll all be long dead.
Otherwise, we'll see you next week for usual service.
Usual service next week. Come and see me at the Leicester Square Theatre the 15th of June, please.
And I'm still on tour, and again on tour in the autumn, so look at my website. Bye!
Bye!